Let's take our Bibles and look once again in Habakkuk chapter 2 in the Old Testament. And my text today is from verse 4 down to verse 8. And the title of this message is The Just Shall Live by Faith. This is taken right from my text here in verse
4.
The Lord said to Habakkuk, Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live, but notice, by his faith. Talk about that in a little bit, because when some read that they'll live by his faith, they think that it's talking about by their believing. But when it says the just shall live by his faith, it's referring to that faith that God gives to those that are his for Christ's sake.
Now
here, in this portion, the Lord is drawing a distinction between those that are his enemies, described there in the first part of verse 4 as those whose soul is lifted up in pride, versus those that are his by electing grace, that live by that faith that God gives them.
Now
remember, the Lord had told Habakkuk that he was going to raise up the Babylonian nation to come and punish the nation of Judah for their idolatry.
And
in chapter 1, we saw how troubled Habakkuk was at the news of what God would do. And so, as we saw in verse 1, he went before the Lord and sat quietly before the Lord to see how the Lord would answer. And so, here is the answer that the Lord gives. He had told Habakkuk in verse 3 that what was to take place was not for the immediate time, but it was to be for the appointed time. It was coming. But verse 4 gives some hope that this punishment that was coming would not be for those who were truly the Lord's. It would be for all the rest. And the truth is that any that are lifted up in their soul, as it says in the first part of verse 4, that they are ones that can expect to be abased by God in judgment.
Nimamu ndi mega folo akulankhula za gulu la anthu limene mbali ina ya vesiyo amene adzavutikira mkati mwa mtima pawokha ndi gulu lina la anthu limene lidzakhala ndi moyo ndi chikhulupiriro chochita kupatsidwa.
So in the middle of all of this prophecy concerning the judgment that is to come, the Lord is reminding Habakkuk that he has a remnant of grace that he has preserved to himself. But then in verses 5 through 8 of my text, he goes on to say that just because he's raising up Babylon to come against Israel, that Babylon itself would face the same condemnation of God as what the Lord was bringing against the idolatry of Judah.
Habakuku za Babulo amene adzadzuka kuti apwaire Israeli namfotokozera zonse zimene zidzachitike.
In verse 5, the Lord is describing the nation of Babylon as a proud man.
Ndipo ndimaka 5 kakufotokozera za Babulo amene ali wodzikuza yekha.
He uses language here of a man that gets drunk with wine and goes out and begins to act in violence toward others.
It
says in verse 5, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people.
Okay, ndimaka 5 kudera kuti ndiposo vinyo ngonyenga ngati munthu wodzikuza wosakhala kwawo wakukulitsa chikhumbo chache ngati konsi kwa manda akunga imfa yosakhuta koma adzisonkhanitsira amitundu onse nadzimemezera mitundu yonse ya anthu.
This is a picture of how Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, when given the authority by God, would go out and conquer all nations and bring havoc unto all people, as the Lord directed.
Apa kufotokozera bwino kwambiri zimene adzachite Babulo motsogozedwa ndi Nebukadinezara chifukwa cha mphamvu yopatsidwa ndi Mulungu kuzunza mafuko onse kulagwidoka kupira ukapolo mafuko onse a ana Israeli.
And so in verse 6 it says, shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay.
Mpaka liti iye odzisenzera zigwiriro.
It's interesting that in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2, it began with this question, how long? O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? That was Habakkuk's prayer against Judah for their idolatry.
But
here in verse 6 of Habakkuk 2, those nations that were being plundered by Babylon would also cry out and ask, how long? How long can this continue? But the Lord is showing Habakkuk that they would go just as long as what God had determined, and no further. In verse 7, he says, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them?
Iwo amene adzakuluma ndi kugalamuka, iwo amene adzakugwedesa, adzakugwedezetsa, ndipo udzakhala zofunga zawo.
In other words, the Lord would use these very nations that for a while Babylon was plundering to turn around, and those nations themselves, it says here, would bite. That's like a ferocious dog would turn around and bite Babylon. And Babylon would become spoil for those nations.
Shimene shikuonekera apa amaona mene babulo atadzachitire kuti adzakhala adzanga monga galu amene akamaenda amabwerera ndikukaluma.
But verse 8, the Lord says, because thou hast spoiled many nations, speaking here of Babylon, all the remnant of the people, that is, those that weren't destroyed by Babylon, shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land of the city and of all that dwell therein. And we know in the history of Babylon, particularly when you read in Daniel, that there came a time that the Medes and Persians came and destroyed Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar had reigned according to God's purpose. So while Habakkuk was troubled as to how God would use Babylon to take Israel into captivity, he's revealing to Habakkuk that it's only for a time, and then Babylon itself would be destroyed.
We're
reading here a prophecy that God gave to Habakkuk even before it took place. This is why we can trust the word of God, because every word is true. Sometimes, like Habakkuk, we can look around and see all the turmoil that's going on around us, but we have this assurance that there's nothing that takes place but what comes from God's sovereign throne. We see trouble and turmoil today, particularly in our various countries, but around the world, And so the question arises, perhaps, where is God? I love the answer that the Lord gave to David on this question in Psalm 115.
Ndipo ni makonda yangu limene Mulungu adamu yanga David maka ku Masalimu 115.
Notice in verses 1 through 3, he says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake."
Ndipo tikaerenga mundimeke ya 1 ulekeze chitatu ya Masalimu 115 amati, "Kwa ife ayi Yehova, kwa ife ayi, kwa makwa dzina lanu, patsani ulemerero, chifukwa cha chifundo chanu, ndi chona ndi chanu."
We know this, that anything that God does is for his name's sake, for his glory, for his truth's sake.
Pakuti tidziwa kuti chinachita chonse chimene chimachitika chifukwa cha kufuna kwake.
And here's the question in verse 2. "Wherefore should the heathen or the nations say, where is now their God?" We know that the world looks on us when we declare that God is sovereign, and then when he brings us through trouble and trial, they look at that and say, "Well, what kind of God is that?" But our answer is in verse 3 of Psalm 115. "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." I believe that's the answer that the Lord gives to his people, in whom he has revealed his Son, that we see his sovereign hand in all that he directs us to face. This is the answer of faith. So coming back here to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, that's where I'd like to focus the rest of this message on what is the faith of those who are truly the Lord's people. This brief statement that we have here in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, where he says, "The just shall live by his faith," is one of the most important and most quoted Old Testament statements that we find in the New Testament. Notice it does not say the just shall live by his works. Notice it does not say the just shall live by his obedience to the law. The one word here, just, actually refers to one who has been approved of God.
Mauya wawa onena kuti worungama afuna kutanthauza kuti munthu amene wayesedwa ndi Mulungu ndi kumpeza kuti ngwangwiro.
Those in the Old Testament that were God's elect, they were approved of God through his forbearance.
Iwo amchipangano chakale okhulupirira adayesedwa ndi Mulungu chifukwa chakumvera kwawo.
God was forbearing with them, even though they were sinners, until the Lord Jesus Christ should come and pay their sin debt. But nonetheless, by his forbearance, they were approved before God.
Iwowo adayesedwa olungama ndi Mulunguyo chifukwa chakumvera ndi kulolerana naye Mulungu mu zonse zimene Mulungu akufunazo. Koma osakhala kuti iwo adali olungama mwaokha, koma Mulungu adangowayesa kuti popeza muchitako izi mukhale olungama.
It's clear they were not yet justified before God because Christ had not yet come and paid their sin debt.
Koma tidziwa kuna kuti sikuti adali
but they were approved of God through the sacrifices that God ordained, those animal sacrifices. That's how they came to God, believing that those sacrifices were a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come and pay their sin debt.
Koma tiona baba kuti nsembe zimene zidaperekedwa iwo nkumazipereka ndizo zimene zindali ngati nsanamira zowapangitsa vaja kuoneka kuti ndi olungama oyesedwa ndi Mulungu.
But they were not approved before God on the basis of any works or goodness in them.
Komatu sadayesedwa olungama chifukwa chakuchita bwino kapena kenaka ake kabwino kuchokera mwa iwo ayi.
The relationship that they had with God in his forbearance was through faith, that faith that God gave them to look outside themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what faith does. It's always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look with me over in Romans chapter
3, in verse 21,
Paul says, now the righteousness of God, that justice of God, notice, without law, in other words, without man's obedience to the law, is manifested, and it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So when it says being witnessed by the law and the prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about what we're reading right now. So yes, the Old Testament spoke of the righteousness of God, but never did it ever declare a sinner righteous by their obedience to the law.
Ndipo apa mmene chilamulo naneneri zimafotokozera za chilungamo cha Mulungu sakuonetsera cha chilungamitso cha munthu payekha wochimwa ayi koma alungamitsidwa kwa ulere pochita kuyesedwa ndi Mulunguyo.
That's why in verse 22 Paul explains it. Even the righteousness of God, but notice how it's put, is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. I hope that's translated correctly in your Bible in Chichewa.
In
other words, it's saying that it's talking about the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus. It's not our faith, but it's the faith of Jesus Christ. In other words, whether it was the Old Testament or New, the only way that God could be just and declare just those that he has approved would be through the faith of Jesus Christ, that faith that is from him and to him.
Kulankula kwina chipangano chakale chimakafotokozera kuti munthu kuti akhale olungama amakhala olungama kuchokera mwa Yesu Khristu. Kutanthauza kuti munthu uyo payekha sangathe kudzilungamitsa yekha ndipo samalungama konse ayi.
When he says there in verse 22, unto all and upon all them that believe, he's talking about both in the Old and New Testament, any that were believers, it was by this one standard that God declared them righteous, the faith of Jesus Christ. The reason it can't be anything in the sinner is declared in verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's some preachers that when they go to the Old Testament, they preach that somehow these in the Old Testament were saved by their obedience to God. Not so.
Notice
verse 23, all have sinned. When Adam fell, all fell in him, all did sin and come short of the glory of God. So how is it that any sinner has been justified before God?
Verse 24
gives us the answer, being justified freely by his grace, but notice, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Those of the Old Testament, just like those since the cross, have all been justified in one time, in one place, by one offering, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 25 goes on to explain it, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. It says there, propitiation means a satisfaction. So Christ's death was the one-time satisfaction of God for all of those that God purposed to save. Now, when it says through faith in his blood, it's not talking about faith being our propitiation. It isn't.
Our
What it's saying is that those that God set Christ forth, for whom he set Christ forth to be the propitiation, it's through faith in his blood now that is declared God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, who, notice, the forbearance of God. He's answering the question of how God could be just and not condemn those, when it says whose sins that are past, it's talking about those of the Old Testament. How could God overlook their sin and not condemn them before Christ came and paid their sin debt?
Yes, I said the way to be Jigola Pans of Ragafe, young Colonel Woody, Fukto, in the Fajan Mungadaro, Amarora, that's Rora, or is the Kitus, Kalamotel, or Mugura, or is one on Geke. When Adam was this year's rental, this was known on Geka, and that's Rora Banjum, this Kalamotel.
Well, he gives the answer. It's through the forbearance of God. God was forbearing with their sin because he had already purposed to put it to the account of Christ when Christ would come and pay that sin
debt.
So those of the Old Testament that God approved as being his, it says through faith in his blood. When it says the just shall live by faith, those of the Old Testament, the Spirit gave them that faith to look to Christ and his death when he would come to pay their sin debt.
Ada uzidwas menezo ama liangana kubwela kwa kwa Yesu Kristu amena atafike mtubi. Ipopo fika yeyo mtubi, atzafa pa mtanda, chifaka ula mkula za magazi ake. Kuda maangana ifayake Yesu Kristu ya pa mtanda, unina yonso ni mene ijarunga micheo kwa kilindi moyo.
That's why he says in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. When he says at this time, it means since the cross. God, it says, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. When God granted faith to those in the Old Testament that were his, it was the faith of looking forward to Christ coming and paying the sin debt.
Pamene Yesu Kristu, pamene Mulungu amalankhula za Yesu Kristu mchipangano cha kale. Amangu apata yu ajakudikira mukubwera kwake kwa Yesu Kristu ndikukwaniritsidwa kwa malonjezano onse amene ambuyeyo adalankhula kuti Yesu Kristu ndiye wopulumutsa komanso ochotsa tchimo ndi kulungamitsa munthu wochimwayo.
And any since the cross, even up to today, to whom God grants this faith, it's still the same object. They looked forward to Christ coming. We look back to his having come and having paid the sin debt, but it's still the same faith. So coming back to my text here in Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 4, when Habakkuk declares here, the just shall live by his faith, he'll live by that faith that God, by his Spirit, gives to those that are his. As I mentioned before, this one brief statement here is one of the most important and most quoted of the Old Testament that we find in the New Testament. And there are three ways to break down this statement and to understand it. And we can do it by emphasizing three different parts of this statement in order to understand the full meaning. First is to emphasize the word just, or the just. The just shall live by faith. The second way is to emphasize the word faith, where we read, the just shall live by his faith. But third way to look at this is to emphasize the word live. The just shall live by faith. So let's look and see how that is affirmed in the New Testament. There are three times in the New Testament where this portion of Scripture is quoted. All three times, it's by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who had been raised under legalistic teachings according to Jewish traditions, but when it pleased God to reveal Christ in him, he went back and began to read again the Old Testament scriptures, and the Lord showed him how Christ was the fulfillment of all those Old Testament scriptures.
Paulo adali mkuru wa chipembedzo amene adaphunzira chipembedzo chonse ndi chilamulo chonse kwa zaka zochuluka koma kutakomera Mulungu kuvumbulutsa Khristu bwa Paulo adabwereranso ndi kuyambanso kuwerenga malemba amene adayamba kumveka mosiyana chifukwa cha Khristu wovumbuluka malemba.
Now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 is the first reference that Paul quotes here from Habakkuk 2:4. In Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
It's
very clear there that it's not according to man's will that he's saved, but according to the power of God in the gospel of Christ.
Romans
But notice in verse 17, for therein, that is, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Monga kwalembedwa kumaulu kuma muntu olungama adzakhala ndi moyo ndi chikhulupiriro.
So from this alone we can say that Habakkuk was declaring the gospel there in the Old Testament, that any that the Lord preserved during that time when Babylon was wreaking havoc through the nations, that it would be by that faith that God gave them to look to Christ and Christ alone. So there, the word just, we understand to be that sinner to whom God would, but when Christ came, declared to be righteous based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Notice in verse 17, it's not saying that they're declared righteous by their faith. It says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
If I jump a young and ask on the Maga 17, so on it said, I would issue a monchaka and chamon to Yoga woman to I, Mawdorum, Mahatakar and Dimoyo, Utogramuji Kurubi, which mentioned Manosa, so which Kurubi, or Sariwamon to I.
There are those that preach today that you're justified by your faith, that when you believe, that's what justifies you. That's not what it's saying. It says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, those that God has declared righteous for Christ's sake, he reveals Christ in them from faith to faith. But now the second reference, quoting Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, we find in Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse
11.
Paul says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. And what does he say? The just shall live by faith.
Ndimaga 11 ya Galatia chapter 3 akuti ndipo tuchidziwika kuti palibe munthu ayesedwa olungama ndi lamulo pamaso pa Mulungu pakuti olungama adzakhala ndi moyo ndi chikhulupiriro.
So it's clear when Habakkuk declared that the just shall live by his faith, it's not by his obedience to the law, because here Paul declares no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Why is it that no man can be justified by the law? Well, verse 12 gives the answer. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. When it says that the man that doeth them shall live in them, that means the law demands perfect obedience. So in order for somebody to be justified by his obedience to the law, he would have to obey perfectly the law. There's only one man who has ever obeyed perfectly the law, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why justification is by him. So when Paul says there in verse 12 of Galatians 3, the law is not of faith, you can't mix them. You can't say, well, it's partially faith, the faith of Christ, but also my obedience to the law. No. Notice we're emphasizing the word here, live by faith. How is it that those that are approved of God live? They live by the faith of the Son of God and through his death. That's what Paul declared there in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, when Christ died, I died. But he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, notice, I live by, again, this is important to translate it properly, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So those that are justified by Christ live by that very life that he gave on their behalf. One other portion in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse
38.
Here again is a quote by the writer to the Hebrews, and it's taken from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Here it's declared, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Mangarabwerera moyo wanga ulibe kukondwera na mwaiye.
Here the emphasis on the word faith. Another way to read this throughout is the just shall live by Christ and what he accomplished on their behalf. So how do we know those for whom Christ paid the debt? How do we know those that do live by faith? They continue to live. They continue to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not of those that fall back into perdition. That's what we see in verse 39 of Hebrews 10. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe, in other words, continue to believe, to the saving of the soul. So to live by faith is to live by Christ. He is the salvation of every one for whom he paid the debt. If we're the Lord's, it's not by our devotion to Christ that we live. That's not what justifies us. It's not by our works or personal obedience to the law. It's not even by our experience or feelings about Christ. No, we live by Christ and his finished work. His death is God's satisfaction. We'll stop there for now, and I pray the Lord bless his word as we've heard it.
It's gospel that has been hidden for many times, for many years, that it's not us, it's not in us, it's not our potential. It's not because of our capability, but it's because of Christ. So it starts with Christ, and it ends up with Christ. What a beautiful time of having this. I've been encouraged and blessed, my dear brother.
Amen.
Been blessed, been encouraged. Brother Ken, look to God in prayer as we are closing this time of worship that the Lord gave us for today.
Gracious Father, I thank you for these moments so precious to be able to spend in your word and to be encouraged to know that these of the Old Testament that you raised up had no different faith than that which you gave them and that which you give to any that you've chosen for whom Christ has come and paid the sin debt. We rejoice to know that our salvation is entirely of him and that faith is the faith of Christ, that which he came and earned and established. And upon completion of his work, you thereby once for all justified every one of your elect, whether in the Old Testament or since the cross. So we thank you and are amazed that you should be pleased to reveal this Christ in such wretches as we are. Who are we that you should be merciful unto us? But all we can do is give you the glory and the praise. and to thank you. And in the midst of everything going on in a rebellious and sinful world, that we would continue to live by this very faith revealed in your Son. And so I pray for each of these preachers that you would continue to teach each one according to your grace and mercy, and that would each of us has given opportunity to preach, we would do but preach Christ and Him crucified alone. So we give you the praise and the honor and glory in His precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.